Okay, Rabbi Yossi, let's learn. Let's learn a few words of Torah. I feel it's appropriate that we should spend the day reflecting upon the Goyin, the Sar HaTorah, as he's called, Rav Chaim Kinievsky, Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha. You don't need my 2 cents. There's literally an infinite amount of material out there. In fact, before Corona started, I remember we did on 2 separate days. I did book reviews on these 2 Sfarim. This was at least 2 years ago. One is called Achoyvois, and the other one is called Hasafari. Now, Baruch Hashem was able to find them in the house. They have a lot of notes in these little Sfarim, and some things I remember. What are they about? I'll tell you, what are they about? So the Chayvus is a Kantaniyevsky. For most of his life, he had a very intense learning schedule. And he put upon himself what you call an obligation to learn a certain amount of Dafin, of Talmud Yerushalmi, of Shnayis, of Shulchan Aruch, Zohar. Every Mitzvah HaTorah, we were called Chayvus, called Chayvus. And the day I cannot go to sleep until I finish the quota, what I have accepted upon myself to study. And in this small sefer, this would be the something that you would give the CIA. They would monitor your daily activities and talk to people, and they would produce a report. What is this person in the home? How does he operate? What's going on in his mind? And someone came along, who obviously was very close to him, and put together this fantastic sefer, basically revealing what his Seder Hayoyim was for years. And there are a lot of nuances, and in the nuances, there are a lot of stories, and there are a lot of insights, and there's a lot of chachma. And there's a lot of toll. A lot of very beautiful things. And I'm not gonna go through it now. I just brought it in and I glanced in a little bit today. And this other sefer is called Hasafari. Chaim Kanievsky is prolific. He wrote, I can't tell you how many sefer, but he wrote, I don't know, so many sefer. I can't give you another word. 100 sefer. He wrote 200 sefer. He wrote and he wrote and he wrote, and some of his Sfarim are really spectacular. Sorry?
This is what he wrote.
So we'll talk about that a little bit in a few minutes. I wanted to reflect, maybe we'll discuss some of this in a few moments. These two are incredible, the same person, and they're spectacular. They really are spectacular. There's a lot of Chachma, Musar, their Heretz to. This was published, how many years ago this was published? Probably 5 years ago, at least 5 years ago. I was in the Sfarim store, so the person in the Sfarim store said, you know, the Chaim Kanievsky people already have put out hundreds of Sfarim about Chaim Kanievsky's life, biographies. And he says to me, usually they wait until they die to publish this type of stuff. Usually a person dies, and then the biography comes out, our full biography, and this biography, and this biography. Just, they already put them out. They're alive. And Chaim Kanievsky, they already put out already in his lifetime biographies and institution and stories. It's remarkable how this person, how he captured the attention, the hearts and minds of so many people in so many different ways. It's just remarkable. I would come back to that. I want to just first tell you about an idea which, to me, it has made a rush. This past Shabbos, we lay in Parshas Tzav. This year is a leap year. And because it's a leap year, the Seder of the year is different. And even though it's different, it didn't have to be the way it came out. There are different possibilities of how the Parshas fall out with regard to Parshas Zohar, Parshas Parah, Parsha Chodesh, and Parsha Shkolim. And this year was a very unique year where Parshas Tzav is a Shabbos Hafsaka. Nothing. Hafsaka. There are no, there's nothing. It's a break. Well, we laid. So the last time we laid was 21 years ago, and we laid it recently. We laid it not that long ago. It happened not like English. It's a very rare haftarah. It's true. It's a very, very rare haftarah. Parashat Tzav. Every struggling to be more rare. The way it works out, I don't know all the details, but it is indeed a very, very rare haftarah to read the haftarah Parashat Tzav, what is printed in the Chumash, the Sefer Shabbos. What does it say in this? What does it say? First of all, which Navi did we read from? Yirmiyah. What is Yirmiyah's legacy? Yirmiyah was, Chazal said, Yirmiyah is Kula Tehachim. Yeshaya is Kula Nechemta. Chazal said, the entire Sefer of Yeshaya from beginning to end is all words of comfort. Sefer Yirmiyah, from beginning to end, every single word are words of Musa Tehachim. And that's hard to understand because if you read Sefer, you learn Sefer Yeshaya, we have the famous Haftarah, Nachamu, I'm sorry, Shabbos Chazoin, even though it's true that a lot of Yeshaya words of Nechama, that really starts with Perek Mem. From Perek Mem to the end are words of Nechama. But the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya doesn't sound too good. And in fact, we learn from Sefer Yeshaya on Shabbos Chazoin, the Shabbos leading up to Tisha B'Av. Shabbos before Tisha, we learn from Yeshaya, and we read some very harsh words. Lama li roim zitchechem yoyim ha'ashem. Mi bike jos bietchem v'rimos chatzel. Who asked you to bring korbanites in the Beis HaMikdash, the company Beis HaMikdash, and to travel my courtyard? I don't need your korbanites, Klal Yisrael. Take your korbanites and get lost. There are some very, very powerful words of Musa in Sefer Yeshaya. Yet Chazal say, even though it's Musar, it's all words of comfort. On the other hand, Sefer Yirmiyah, even though you don't necessarily see such harsh things in Yirmiyah, there are definitely very harsh things. The Haftarah of Tisha B'Av is from Yirmiyah, but not everything is so harsh. No, Chazal say, don't make any mistake, every single thing that it says in Sefer Yirmiyah is words of Musar. Okay, fine. This Per Shabbos we learn from Sefer Yirmiyah, which in it of itself is a Sefer of Musa. What did we read in Sefer Yirmiyah? We read in this Per Shabbos the harshest words of Musa, literally in the entire Tanakh. There is no words that are more severe and horrible than what we learn this Per Shabbos. In fact, it would appear that when we lay this Per Shabbos is what we really were supposed to lay on Tisha B'Av, but we didn't because it was too much. So instead, we lay what comes after these words, and that the Haftarah of Tisha B'Av follows exactly where we left off on Parashat Tzav. The Haftarah that we lay on Tisha B'Av begins where we finish, where we left off on Parashas Tzav, yesterday, or 2 days ago. Why? You know why? Because it would have been too much to read on Tisha B'Av what we really should have read. On Tisha B'Av, really, we should have read the Haftarah of Parashas Tzav. But that would be too much. So you know what? Don't go down so hard on the Jewish people. Go easy. Read the next psukim, which are not as severe. But on Parsha Tzav, fire and brimstone. Give it all you got. And that's how when we finished the Haftarah on Shabbos, if you notice, we skipped to the end of what we actually do learn on Tisha B'Av, of Al Yishalel Chocham Mechochmosoi, Gibor Begvurosoi, rather, Haskel, the Adoya Oisi, the Gemara, we skip the Haftarah and Parsha Tzav. After we read the Musar, we skip and we read the last few psukim, which is exactly the same thing that we read on Tisha B'Av, to be Messiah with, you know, a Dover Toif. What's going on? Now, let me prove to you how harsh these words are. We actually had a conversation with a Balkriya. It's not as good as Ramayevsky. It's not as good. But this Balkriya, serious business. So Rebbe Talmud Chacham. His name is Binyamin Levitz. He told me that he cannot learn the whole thing by heart. This, like, what do you learn by heart? He learned this once in 20 years. And he said, he says to me, this Haftarah is the most severe in the entire Tanakh. The words of this Haftarah are the harshest. How do we begin? The Haftarah begins, Kol Ma'ashem Tzivokot, Elokei Yisrael, Oiloi Seichem, Sifu Al Zivcheichem, V'ichlu Vosar. The word Sifu means to add. And Hashem says, take the carbon oilo, add it to the Zevach, which is the carbon shlamim, and eat it. In other words, when you bring a carbon shlamim, what do you do with the carbon shlamim? You give the kohanim the chazer v'shoyt, and you burn them as back the fats, and you sprinkle the blood, and all of the leftover meat, you eat. You consume yourself. You eat it. And what do you do when you bring a carbon oilo? You burn the entire animal. The only thing that's saved is the hide. The hides go to the Kohanim. The meat is completely consumed. Hashem says, you know, I'm so sick and tired of you. I'm so sick and tired of you and your kibonos. Why don't you take the carbon oil that you ordinarily burn on the Mizbeach? Why don't you eat it? You could eat it. Just like you eat the carbon shlamim. So eat the carbon oil also. Why are you bringing a carbon shlamim? Because you want to serve me? You couldn't care less about me. You bring a carbon shlamim because you want to feed yourself. You're hungry. So you're so hungry. You know what? Why don't you go and feed yourself the carbon oil as well? In other words, Hashem is mocking us, the ultimate mocker. The ultimate mocker, Hashem is saying, do you really think I need your kibonos? Do you really think I want your kibonos? Take the kibonos and eat them yourself. Sacrifice them. You eat them. It's the ultimate mockery. Yeshaya, when he gave us the same Musa, you know what he said? Don't bring kibonos. Hashem's not interested. Hashem says, you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash, you're not behaving, you're Balei Avera. Well, you think this is it's a magic hocus pocus. You bring a carbon, you're all forgiven. You know what? Don't bring me carbonos. Don't defile the Beis HaMikdash. Mi bikesh zos miyetchem yemos chatzeroi. I'm not interested. When Yirmiyah said the same exact message, he said it even worse. Bring the carbonos. Come. Come one, come all, bring. And you know, and when you bring the animal, you eat it. It's mockery. It's mockery. Yeshaya and Yirmiyah said the same exact thing. They had the same nevuah. Hashem is giving Musa the Klal Yisrael. Yeshaya, kulo nechenta. Erev Tisha B'Av, Yeshaya says the Klal Yisrael, you're Balei Avera. Hashem is not interested in you. He doesn't need you. He doesn't want you. He doesn't care for you. So don't come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring korbanos that are worthless in his eyes. Yirmiyah said exactly the same thing. Hashem doesn't want you. He doesn't need you. He doesn't care for you. He doesn't want your korbanos. You know how much he doesn't want your korbanos? He's making leitzonis of you. Come bring the korban, sacrifice it. And instead of put on the mizbeach, you eat it. It's mockery. Mockery. Yirmiyah is kula teichach. Yeshaya, when he says the same teichacha, he says it gentler. Gentler. Instead of mocking us and saying, yeah, you eat the carbon oil. He says, you know, it's not a good day today. Today is not your day. Just don't come into work. Stay home. Don't anger Hashem. Yirmiyah says, come to the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem's going to spit in your face. Oiloi Seichem, the carbon oil, add it to the carbon shlamin, and you eat it. It's the ultimate, ultimate musr. And it goes on and on and on. And he said to me, I was the same at Kavana. He said to me, this is the new Balkriya Mumfa, this fellow. And he said to me, when you come to the words, V'nivchar chayim mimoves. Your lives will be so miserable. V'nivchar moves mi'chayim. Your lives will be so miserable. You would choose death over life. So he said he couldn't help but think chayim is alluding to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It was nifter on Friday. And then the next day you're reading, Hashem is giving us musa, v'nivchar, moves, mechayim. As if to say that Chaim Kanievsky, who is no Sar HaTayr, someone who's cherished the whole Talmud show, Misas Talmidei Chachamim is shokul k'neged Serefas Beis Elokei. So Chazal said, when the Talmud Chacham passed away, it is ki'ilu the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And certainly a person that was accepted, recognized as the greatest Talmud Chacham of the generation, and that's pretty much the upshot of what they said in the Hesed yesterday. It was a very short levaya, relatively speaking. And his son spoke. And he basically, what he wanted to say in essence, that his father was the greatest Talmud Chacham of the generation. And when the Talmud Chacham passed away, the Arizei HaLevana, Adidei HaTorah, he said this on Tisha B'Av. Misas Talmidei Chacham Mishokol Kineged Serefas Beis Elokim. When they saw that the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed, they jumped into the fire. Lama lichayim. V'nivchar moves mechayim. The words of the Haftarah are just, I mean, unbelievable. Read what it says over this. It says, V'Beis HaKimim HaShem Yotziu. As Atzmois, Malcha Yehuda, as Atzmois, Sarab, they pick up the bones. They're going to dig up the graves of all of the Rishonim, and they're gonna lie them, they're gonna be mevaza them, they're gonna burn them, they're gonna spread them out. The nifchar, they're not gonna be buried. The nifchar moves mechayim l'chol hasheiris hanisharim to the remnants min hashpocha horo hazois. B'chol ha-mekoymois ha-nish'orim asher hindachtim sham, mirum ha-shem tzivakos. It doesn't get worse than this. You don't have psukim. And the whole thing, go with the beginning of the Haftarah, it's utterly shocking that we should even read such a Haftarah, period. Look what it says over here. It says, V'yamart aleyem, ze ha-goy, this nation, the Jewish people, asher loy shamu, b'kol ha-shem elokov, v'loy lokhu musar. They did not accept Musar. Ovda ho'emuna v'nichrusa mipiha. They are not ma'aminim. The words of this Haftarah are earth-shattering. They say about Klal Yisrael, Ovda ho'emuna. There's no faith left in the Jewish people in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have no emuna, nothing. No, how can you say that about Klal Yisrael? Ovda ho'emuna. V'nivchar moves mechayim l'chol ha-sheiris ha-mish'orim min ha-mishpocha ha-ro'o ha-zes referring to Klal Yisrael b'chol ha-mikoymois ha-nisharim the remnants the sheiris ha-pleita asher hidachtim sham l'um ha-shem tzivakos k'ol ha-shem tzivakos ha-lokei Yisrael o'lo yisechem sifu al-zivcheichem v'ichlu b'asher you eat the carbon oil. You're giving me a carbon oil. Take the carbon, eat it yourself. I mean, you can go darsh in the Haftarah the whole day. There is nothing that comes to this Haftarah anywhere in the entire Tanakh. It is so chomor. It is so horrible. You couldn't stomach to read these words on Tisha B'Av. You had to take a step down on Tisha B'Av when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And read something that's not as frightening. Read what it says after the next section, and then conclude Kol yomar Hashem al yisalol chacham bichach masav yal yisalol gagiba bigurso al yisalol asher biyashroi ki mizoyis yisalol hamisalol haskel viyodoy oisi ki ani Hashem oisach chesed mishpat mitzvaka vaaretz ki vaelach hafatzim yom Hashem. We conclude the same way. Don't make no mistake. Shabbos was Tisha B'av. You concluded. You close your eyes and listen. Koy yomar Hashem. Like you switch back to the regular Nusach of the Haftorah. Close your eyes. It's, wait a minute, doesn't that sound familiar? Yeah, today is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, it's Shabbos. It's Purim. We just finished Purim. What's going on here? So first of all, let's understand why in the world would Chazal establish that we should lay the worst Haftorah in the world on the Shabbos that comes after Purim, one of the happiest days in the year. The happiest day in the year. How could it possibly be that Chazal would institute, that we should lane on the day after Purim, happiest day in the year, we should lane Haftarah that's even more severe than Maya. So I want to explain the following. The end of last week's parasha, we learn about the mitzvah called Purisha. We learn about Yom HaKippurim. Kippurim, the day that is like Purim. Kippurim. We have Purim and we have all the darshan. I think it's a Zoya. And Purim, the Yom HaKippurim, the 10th day of Tishrei, is a day that is Kippurim. What's the connection? Well, it's many, you know, there are a lot of things you can say about what the connection is. The obvious connection is that on Purim, it's Kulul HaShem, and on Yom HaKippurim, on Yom HaKippurim, it's Kulul HaShem, we do not eat, we do not drink, we fast, we afflict our bodies, and on Purim, it's Kulul Lochem. Kulul HaShem versus Kulul Lochem. The end of the parasha discusses the last words of the parasha, Ufesach oyel moe teshu yoimon v'layla shiv'as yomim. Ushmartem es mishmeres Hashem v'loy semusu kichein tzu v'esi. 7 days, this is the beginning of Masech v'yoma. Many years love Masech v'yoma. Everyone knows the first two da'ach of Masech v'yoma. 7 days before Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol is sequestered. It's sequestered to the Beis HaMikdash. They give him a room. He has a chamber. He has a room. Beis Parva. He has a room. And he lives in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. He may not walk out of the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days leading up to Yom HaKippurim. And what does he do during those 7 days? Practices. The training. The practice, the Sefer HaVodah. Practices being kibbonos, he lifts himself up spiritually in preparation for the Seder Ho'avod. During those 7 days that he needs to prepare for the Kedushas Hayoyim of Yom HaKippur, When Purim is over, what's the next thing? What comes next after Purim? Okay, after when the Shushan Purim is over, what comes next? So you'll say, I don't know, St. Patrick's Day. What comes next? Pesach. No, the Sunday that comes before Pesach, and that is the Shivas Mehamilu. When is the real inauguration of the Mishkan? We go through time. It's not really not. It's not really the Shchodesh Nisan is the real Parah Shabbos. Sahi Bayem Hashmini. Or Shchodesh Nisan is the 8th day of the Milu. But when do the ceremonies really begin? When do the Milui begin? Of Gimel. The 23rd day of Adar is when the anniversary of, for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu, every single day, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe Natar. Okay, the Mishkan, it's a very fascinating process of inaugurating the Mishkan. We're coming to these days right now. It's very fascinating. The Mishkan was erected in two steps. Moshe Rabbeinu was front and center. For 7 days, every day Moshe woke up in the morning, he assembled the entire Mishkan. He took all the krushim, all the brichim, all the adonim, all the uriyos, all the hooks. Every single day, he assembled the entire Mishkan all by himself. And then what did he do? He wore a garment, a white garment. No, he did not wear the formal garment. A chaluk lavan, Rashi says in this blessed parasha, and he offered a set of korbanos. Solo. Erected the Mishkan, wore a chaluk lavan, and he brought a set of korbanos all by himself, no one else. Levad, by himself. When did he do this? On the 23rd day of Adar. What did he do? And then when he finished, what did he do? He took apart the Mishkan, disassembled everything back to its place, into its compartments. The next day, all over again, the same thing. He took out the Kalim, he took out the Adonim, he took out the Kroshim and the Uriyos and the Amudim, and he erected the whole Mishkan all over again. And what did he do? A beged lavon, a white garment, and he brought a set of korbanos called Miluim. The Miluim, he did this on the 24th, the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th. He did this in 7 days. Vayihi bayom hashmini, Aleph Nisan, Moshe's out. Moshe left the city, did he put up the Mishkan? I don't even trouble the Mishkan. Maybe he did. I don't know. I just don't know. Maybe he did. Moshe, you're out. You're a Levi. Now it's your turn. Moshe did not bring any korbanos and Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now Aaron, Akoyim, the Kohanim came in. Moshe is only a Levi. Most Moshe can do is can sing Shira. Moshe can be a gatekeeper, but Moshe no longer is doing Avodah. So the Mishkan was the Mishkan. Yes, the Mishkan represents not just the Mishkan, but it's all Doros. The Mishkan represents Mishkan. You know, they say, why did he erect it 7 times? Kenega the 7 Mishkanites. Is this the Mishkan, Gilgal, Shiloh, Noiv, Givon, the Bayis Rishon, and the Bayis Shein? I guess so. Assumption is yes. Moshe erected the Mishkan 7 times, Keneged, the 7 Mikdashos of Klal Yisrael. I would assume so, yes. Or they watched a YouTube video for training. That's how they train the Ukrainian soldiers. They tell them to watch YouTube videos, how to operate weapons of mass destruction. He taught them. Moshe erected the Mishkan the 7 days, Keneged, the 7 Mishkans that Klal Yisrael will have in their history, which is Mishkan of Moshe, Gilgal, Shiloh, Noiv, Givon, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Now, Vayhi Bayom Hashmini, Bayis Shlishi. Aaron comes in, this represents the Bayis Shlishi. Moshe Rabbeinu for 7 days erected the Mishkan. And we know, when it comes to doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have 7 days of Prisha. On Yom HaKippurim, before Yom HaKippurim, there are 7 days. That's the end of the parsha. The end of the parsha says that the Kohen Gadol, before he does the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim, Mafrish the Kohen Gadol, 7 days in advance of Hafrasha. How many days are there after Purim until Moshe Rabbeinu erects the Mishkan? Exactly 7 days. Shushan Purim is day 15. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Shushan Purim is day 15 of Adar. After Shushan Purim is over, that's Ikar Purim, okay? Shushan Abira, Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. They celebrate Purim in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh on day 15. Okay, Purim is over. Now what? 7 days. And after those 7 days, what happens after those 7 days? No, not Rosh Chodesh, 23rd day. It's the 23rd day of Adar. And what happened on the 23rd day of Adar? Moshe Rabbeinu begins the Shiva Simei HaMiluim. When did the Shiva Simei HaMiluim begin? On the 23rd day of Adar, 23, 24. You think about the Nisim, when they inaugurated the Mishkan on Aleph Nisan, then there are another 12 days. Okay, there are another 12 days, a total of 19 days. There's a total of 19, there are 12 days starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when every single one of the Nisim offered new karbanos, special karbanos. That starts with Aaron, Vahiba Yom HaShmini, on day 8, going forward, there were 12 days of bringing special karbanos to inaugurate the Mishkan. But before that, Moshe Rabbeinu, he also inaugurated the Mishkan on his own for 7 days. These are called the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. Don't you know you say Tachlin during these days? Well, I say Tachlin. I'm sure there are plenty of shuls that jump on the bandwagon and find an excuse not to say Tachlin starting on the 23rd day of Nisan. So Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. You don't say Tachlin during your Shivas. What? 23rd of Adar, 23rd day of Adar. Okay, I'm sure there are plenty of shuls that don't say Tachlin.
No one says Tachlin.
So Shabbos. They'll say Tzikoscha. Tzikoscha. Okay, 23rd day of Adar. I doubt them they say Tachlin, they say Tzikoscha, but I'm sure there are many shuls that will not say sign the 23rd day. Wow. Okay. So this is. So what am I trying to say? Let me go back to the.
So it's the 17th, the 16th, and the
17th. Have Amina.
They said Abraham. Maybe by you.
By you. By you. By the Chassidim. They don't say. They don't say after the program. Ready? You already done. It's Ben Azman. All right. Here, both side. So here's the idea I want to present. The idea. The Zohar says that Yom HaKippurim is called HaKippurim Miloshein. It's Kippurim. It doesn't quite make it. There's a similarity, but it's not the same. It's like Purim, but doesn't really make it. What's the difference? So there are so many different ideas that explain what does it mean that HaKippurim is like the Yom Tov Purim. I want to suggest to you the difference is when is the Prisha? When is the Prisha? When it comes to Yom HaKippurim, the 7 days of Purisha are before, as what we learn at the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha is Upesach, the last lunch, the very end of the parasha, the din of Purisha. Upesach ol moed heishu yom v'layla shivas yomim. Before the Yom Tov of Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol has to enter, has to be sequestered inside the Beis Hamikdash for 7 days to prepare. He has to absorb the sanctity of the Mokoi. He needs to build himself up to get ready for that day of Yom HaKippurim. And then, bang, Yom HaKippurim comes. What happens? He does the Avodah. He goes to the Lefnai V'Lefnin. And then what happens when Yom Kippur is over? What happens when Kippur is over? The Yom Tov Hoya Oysa Kohen Gadol B'Tseison Mibes HaKodesh. Mitzoyon Kippur, he leaves. He leaves the Beis HaMikdash. I've been here, Rabbi Yisrael, for 8 days. How much could you stick around here? Enough. I was here for 7 days. I was sequestered in preparation. I did the Avodah. I'm still alive. I survived. I went Lefnai V'Lefnim. I did the Avodah for Klal Yisrael. It was a success. Look. Tufts of wool turned from crimson to white. Kapara, success. It's time to go home. The Yom Tov HaYo'oseh Kohen Gadol, the Yom B'Tseison Mibeis HaKodesh. When he left.
What did the Kohen Gadol do on the daily basis? Whatever he wants to.
Whatever he needed to do, that's a different story. Whatever he did, whatever he was, the leader. Whatever he did. Now, Purim, Yom HaKippurim, HaKippurim is only a dogma to Purim. Purim, there's no preparation. Avoy el HaMelech, Asher lo chados. No one called me to come. Esther said to Mordechai, I can't just walk in. You need preparation. You need a hazmana. You need hachonos. You need. You just don't go into the melech asher loy chados. There's no hachonos. Purim, there's no preparation. You picked up and you thrust into Purim. But what happens when you experience the Purim? You don't leave so fast. The experience is so powerful. The prisha of this being sequestered comes after the halachah. Right after Purim, there are 7 days of prisha. There are 7 days which I'm calling them of being sequestered, of preparation, of to the milul. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu inaugurated the Mishkan the 23rd day of Adar. That inauguration was the climax of a hachana, but that hachana follows Purim. When it comes to Yom Kippurim, the emphasis is prepare for Yom Kippur. Prepare in advance. You prepare 7 days, comes HaKippurim, Yom Kippurim, go, you're done. Here, there's a Purim, and the Purim is like the Yom HaShmini, so to speak. It's the 8th day. You're going backwards. And after that, now we have 7 days of Hachana that leads up to the inauguration of the Yimei HaMiluim. The experience of Purim is an experience that lingers on with you afterwards. Whereas Yom HaKippurim, the experience of Yom HaKippurim is more in the build-up, the hachana to reach that moment. Everything about Yom HaKippurim is Elul. And then there is Rosh Hashanah, and then there is some Gedalia, and there's the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. The entire experience of Elul is the whole Hana, is the preparation, is the buildup. Purim is the takeaway. The whole Megillah is about they were in utter shock. Something came upon them, and they were shaken to the core. The whole experience of Purim was what they took out of Purim. Purim was thrust upon them suddenly. Lahashna lahar gula'ave. We davened. A miracle happened. And then in hindsight, wow. Kimu v'kimu. They were makabel for the next year. We have to make another Purim. It's the whole experience of Purim is the 7 days that follow after Purim. So when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, Shabbos Chazon is, well, that's by Yom HaKippurim, the Shabbos Shuva. So it's a similar idea. But most of our holidays, there's a buildup. So the focus is what comes before, and before we reach the climax. And we reach the climax, we experience it, and then it swiftly dissipates. Purim is the opposite. The whole goal of Purim is, after the experience, now is when the work begins, is to appreciate. Why indeed is it that we lay the most severe haftarah after, going back to our question, after Purim? Purim, as we said before, is not really such a happy holiday. It's a bitter, sweet holiday. It's very happy that we survived. But don't forget, Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. When the Purim story is over, there's no challah because nothing has changed. When the Megillah began, there was no Beis HaMikdash. There was a cancellation of Koresh to build the Beis HaMikdash. When the Megillah is over, there's no Beis HaMikdash. Nothing changed. Business as usual. Akate Avi Achashver Shana. The Jewish people were terrorized. There was trauma. There was collateral damage. Daniel Ish Hamudos was murdered. Now you can argue, you can say that Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, was the Ish Hamudos of this generation. It's cannot not a safer you could pick up anything written today that doesn't have his name. Mom, nothing. You can't even go Dalit Am without seeing Sadhguru Chaim Kanievsky. Arguably, the biggest Talmud Chacham of this generation. And people, they just love going. Like I was nearly going through. I have a video of someone in Upshare, And I'm looking at this video. I remember this song that I knew when they took their child 3 or 4 years ago. So Chaim Kanievsky, the whole ceremony there. Yankee, his grandson, they line up his kids. They line them up like dime a dozen. And they tell Rav Chaim, you know, he's already a zocking then 2 years ago. This is what you're going to do for the next 2 hours. You're going to give out lollipops to children. Okay? Sorry, Zaidi. I know you're the Gadol Hadar, and I know your time is very valuable, but this is what you got to do today. And they line up these kids like a dime a dozen. I have the video, yeah. I want you to share your picture.
Yeah.
Okay, you go look at Rav Eisen, the Shas Yidden. He takes his Shas Yidden to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And you look at that picture. Mayor Appeldorf is standing there with a smile on his face from ear to ear. Right? Send the picture on the coral chat.
I didn't get a lollipop.
Okay, ear. And everyone there is so happy. You look at their expression, and really, I never realized. Look at these people. Look at Mayor in that picture. You're smiling in the ear. I look at this video of this upsharing. The people there, they're like they won the lottery. They're like, Rav Chaim looks so bored. It's like they won the lottery. It was like the Ish Hamudos and this dog. Purim is a very bittersweet holiday. There was a lot of trauma to the children of that generation. Daniel was murdered. Esther was the loneliest person in the world. She had no parents. When her mother was pregnant, her father died. When her mother gave birth to her, her mother died. Mordechai raised Yosef. It wasn't like today it's never good. Yosef is never good. But they had nothing. And then later, she goes to a guy, Achashverosh. Chashavadati avadati. When the Megillah is over, Esther has no parents. She has no husband. She's married. She's married to a monster. She has a child, Daryavesh. Do we find anywhere that Daryavesh had anything religious about him? What happened to Daryavesh? He gave permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. Was he Jewish? Was he a Shomer Torah Mitzvos? What became of his descendants? Nothing. And there's no zecher of Daryavesh. There's no zecher that Daryavesh ever said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Maybe he did. I don't know. Did you ever hear about Daryavesh? You hear about the Bnei Bonav Shalhalon Longdu Torah B'Bnei Barak. The Bnei Bonav of Hitler, the Yimach Shemo, Longdu Torah B'Bnei Barak. And what about Esther Hamalka? What about her Bnei Bonav? You hear anything about them? The Chazal say, "Lom the Torah Bnei Brak." I don't know. Doesn't say. Maybe I don't know. Doesn't say. Halavai. I don't know. Now Yavish doesn't seem to be in world history to be a religious Jew. What kind of nachas is that for Esther? It's not such a happy story for it. It's an experience. It's a powerful experience. Unfortunately, we make it into a big joke. Everything is, drink and eat and run around. Adaloyada. It's an experience, but it's a very holy experience. And it's an experience where Chazal felt now is the time where your minds are open and you are receptive to the Musar of Hashem. If you stop a guy in the middle of the winter, you call him over. I know a guy, every time he sees me, he goes like this, he points with his finger and goes, like this combo. And it gives me this musa. Why aren't you wearing a mask? Why? You could go to shul. Do they wear masks? No. Listen, what would your parents have said about this? Okay, he calls me over. Okay, you're right. I'm not going to argue with you. If you call a guy over in the middle of the winter to give him musa, leave me alone. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Take your musa for yourself. I'm not interested in your musa. Go take the musa for yourself. You'll kick him in the face. Get out of here. You have to be in the right frame of mind to be receptive to musa. You have to be receptive. You have to be in the right frame of mind. When you're sitting in lockdown and you're terrorized and you hear sirens, you know, you're receptive to musa. You have to be in the right frame of mind. These words of musa, if you tell someone the musa of Parsha Sav on Tisha B'Av, on the day of Yom Sineifas Beis Elokeinu, get lost. It's too harsh. You can tell them the other musa. There's plenty of musa. But you have to know your audience. You have to know your audience. You have to know when they are receptive to receiving words of musa. If you're not receptive to the words of musa, it's damaging to give someone musa. When is Klal Yisrael receptive to the harshest words of musa in the entire Tanakh? V'nivchar moves nichayim. Sifu oiloi seichem al zivchechem v'yoich lubasa. When? Purim. Exactly. Purim is the time of the year where Hashem raises Klal Yisrael up to such a level of love. There's such a revelation of Gilu Shechina, of Kirvas Elokim, where we set. And it's not like Yom HaKippurim, where the whole Hachana is in preparation. That's not the nature of Purim. The nature of Purim is first the high half Purim, and then you're now ready. The key moment of Purim, let me take a step back. What is a holy moment for most people? Erev Yom Kippur or Yom Kippur? I can't talk about you, but I think it's Erev Yom Kippur for myself. The moment of holiness, of Erev Yom Kippur, go to Davin, Erev Yom Kippur, and Kaparis, go to Mikvah, and the Sudah Mafsekes, I think by many people is more sacred than the Ilah. Okay, it's a more sacred experience by most people. The experience of Erev Yom Kippur than Ni'ilah. Ni'ilah, how many more minutes until this is over? Hashem Hu Elokim, and you can go on and eat. Erev Yom Kippur is a sacred moment. Purim? The sacredness of Purim is after Purim is over. After that experience of Purim, you reflect. Wow, what a day that was. What a day, what an experience. You reflect. When you're in that state of reflection, that high, your mind is wide open. Ka'ulam. Now Hashem can tell you what you need to hear. The ultimate Musar in Tanakh. But let me finish this thought. You know, there's no good time to die. And I personally, you know, it's very unsettling with me what happened that he was nifta. People told me the same thing. He was 94 years old, if I'm not mistaken. In Eretz Yisrael, the Gedolim lived to 100. Someone once told me, in America, the Gedolim lived to 90, and in Eretz Yisrael, they lived to 100. Check it out, you'll see I'm right. In Eretz Yisrael, I don't know, only Hashem knows. Obviously everything is in Hashemayim. But when he was nifter, I was very surprised. I really had this feeling it wasn't your time yet. even if the last year wasn't good, the last year people will tell you he was out. But you know, he was there, good for a photo op. He was alive. He was alive. Something wasn't right. And people told me the same thing. Av Steinman, he was over 100 years old. It's a tragedy. No one deserves to die. It doesn't matter if you're 100, if you're 120, 150. It's never a good time to die. Never. No one, not chayev misa. What do you do? Why do you have to die? It's just because you're 100 years old, you have to die? Who says you have to die when you're 100 years old? Bessie, she was 99 years old. Why did she have to go? What did she do? What did she deserve? She had to leave us 99 years old. Not fair, right? But when a person, Av Steinman, was over 100, for some reason, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, I'm 94 years old, it just didn't seem right. Okay, it was like before his time. It's never a good time to die. You want the whole excitement of Shramali, you want the whole excitement, everyone rallying. I don't know, I don't think that's the reason. We don't know nothing. We can't imagine. We don't know nothing. But let me just finish my point. Point is, it's never good to die. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he was the Ish Chamodos. What's going to be coming out now is going to be like a fire hydrant, floods and floods of Hespedim. It's going to go on. Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael, there's going to be Hespedim galore, and there's going to be publications, and there's going to be. Can't even begin to imagine. But he was nifter b'hashgacha pratis on Shushan Purim. He was nifter at the holiest moment. The holiest moment in time. Can you imagine that? Shushan Purim. As all of the Yom Tov are going to be bought. Not Purim. Purim is not going to be bought. He was nifter on Shushan, he's discussed. For Klal Yisrael, it's La Yehudim Hoysa Oira Simcha Sasan Vika. But in Shushan, the Ha'ir Shushan Sohalo V'Sameich Hechrem Adrei. And he was nifter at the end of the day, towards the end of Shushan Purim. What? Are you talking? Akol B'Hashkoch. Makes sense? Let me ask you, does it make sense to lay Parshas Tzav, the Haftarah of Parsha Tzav, after Purim, after you're on such a high, exalted Madrega, does it make sense to lay a Haftarah that is the most severe message, the whole Tanakh, after Purim? It's the same thing. It's because it's after Purim, you're in those Zion 7 days of Purisha, getting ready for the Miluim, of the binyan, that is when your mind is open. You are receptive. The misa sadikim is shokel keneged sreifas beis elokeinu. The end of Purim, there's no beis hamikdash. Akate avi achashverosh anan. Is no Beis HaMikdash. Rav Chaim Kanievsky was nifter on Shushan Purim. Nisas Talmidei Chachamim is shakul keneged sreifas beis elokeinu. It's the most intense musar Hashem can possibly give. And when did he give it to us? He gave it to us. Hashem gave us a toiv. You can't say it's a toiv. It's a harah. But we have to look at it, and we have no choice. Because we have no choice, we have to understand that we're different now. You can't say you're not different after Purim. You're in a different frame of mind. You can't say you're not, even the coldest person. Purim is Purim. Purim is a good time. It's a good day. It lingers. The good feeling, it lingers. There's a certain simcha. That simcha opens up your mind. It creates in your mind the ability to be receptive to the Musar Hashem of what has happened. This is not a simple thing that happened. This is a person that brought people, his existence brought people joy. A mayor, yeah, quick.
You have to order that to say the one horrible prophet and said that it's racing, that the war not being with an eye in the colorful thing because Inca.
Correct.
The Babbage skips that whole section. A lot of shul, when they have a chosen in the shul, they will not claim the subtitle because of the prophet.
100%.
The eighth lasso is encountered on every shul. This week was a shiloh that they sent to Alan about what to do.
Yeah.
And there's like four pages. He said, look, look, you can blame it that it doesn't make a difference. On this project, it said,
right. There's another horrifying passage that I did in this Haftarah. Hashem will cease to exist in Yerushalayim. The Kol Sasan, Kol Simcha, Kol Chosan, the Kol Talon. How much worse do you want to get? I mean, the whole Haftarah is just beyond belief of horror. I want to leave over with one thing, one Ha'arah. In my mind, at least. Not that my 2 cents doesn't make a difference, but when I look at Reb Chaim, I think many people, they look at Reb Chaim, what was his legacy? Well, there are literally tens of thousands of stories. Besides the fact that he was the Sar HaTorah, he called HaTorah Kula, superhuman in his Seder Hayoyim, what he learned, the Sfarim that he published are beyond belief. The Chochmas HaTorah that he handed down, the answer to answer any idea, B'chol HaTorah Kula, besides the idea HaTorah. Then there are these stories. People, I know I went myself twice, so I didn't say a word, I just watched my brother do the talk. People ask him questions. And there are a lot of very bizarre stories in fact. There's Ruach HaKodesh and this and that. And not every story really helps and works for every person. Okay, there's one Yisoy that goes through every single story. And this is really his legacy more than any other Gadol. His Yisoy was the solution to every problem in this world is Torah. He would say it in humorous ways. A person broke his foot. So what do? You learn Bava Kamma, Perek, Ketsa Haregel. You need a Shidduch. You learn Masechta Kiddushin. You need this. Some of the stories if you're not in a Baal Madrega, it's like very, a little bit bizarre, some of the stories. But the Yisraelis, he brought to the consciousness of Klal Yisrael more than anyone else the solution to everything in this world is to embrace Limud HaTorah. Not everyone is cut out for this, obviously. But he promoted it. He'd been promoting this for 30, 40 years publicly. Rav Chaim, what Rav Chaim, what should we do? Learn. There's a war going on. What should we do? There's a war in Ukraine. Learn. There's a lockdown. What do you do? Learn. Person's not well. Learn. Learn, learn, learn. Nachamo. Again, 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 again. Let's say there would not have been Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Would it be in this world today such a conscious and a subconscious idea that the solution to everything in this world is Torah? The bracha, you're all here. Look at this. You're doing a lot of things right now. You've all chosen to come and sit and learn. Why? Because you know deep down inside, all the bracha in this world comes in the zuchus of Limud HaTorah. You know that. It's the hana of learning. It's the learning. It's the ideas. It's all about learning. That was his legacy. There's no one, think of that. Is there any God that you know? All he did the whole day, whenever he asked him a question, and everyone just came and ran to him. And you know what he's going to tell them? Learn, learn, learn. He'll say it in all these funny ways. That's his legacy. It should be in your blood to realize the chashivos, the chavivos of Talmud Torah. Yiratzal milufonech Hashem lokeinu v'kei v'sein sh'yibone beis hamikdash b'mehera v'yomeinu the same Chalkeinu Messiah yourself. Shom Navot Chod B'yira Kini Allah M'chushonim Chad Mavyos.
I don't know.